Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about leadership here together at Corn Money. We've been figuring out what it means to be a leader, a human leader in the purposes of God, how we play our part to represent him in the world. We've been looking at the life of Samuel and Saul, seeing how they interact with one another, and seeing how the positives and negatives of Saul's leadership. We see that Saul comes to power because the people of Israel, God's chosen nation, didn't want to be distinctive from the other nations, and they wanted a king just like all the other nations. And so they pleaded with God, they pleaded with Samuel, let us have a king. God gives them a king, chooses Saul. And for better or worse, Saul leads the nation of Israel, and we see how that plays out. We've been thinking about the qualities of a leader. We've been thinking about leader having success and the need for human leadership. And today, we're going to think about the values of Christian leadership. What does it mean to be a leader in the kingdom of God? We're going to read together from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. The words will be on the screen. Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines, and the people were summoned to Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You've not kept the command of the Lord your God. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah in Benjamin. And Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. We end there giving thanks to God for his word to us, how it speaks to us today. As I was returning the trolley to the trolley area in supermarket, I was returning it to the trolley bay, and I couldn't get my pound coin out a couple of weeks ago. And I wrestled with it for a while, and I looked around to see if there was somebody official that I could make my complaint to, but the pound coin would not come out, and time was running out. I needed to pick up Robbie from nursery school. Rachel was in the car. We needed to go to get Robbie. So I wrestled with it for a while, looked around. Nobody could help, so I thought, right, leave it. Went on, left the pound in the trolley, got in the car and went to pick up Robbie. Imagine I told you the same story, but it was Rosa who was stuck in the trolley. So I need to pick up Robbie, right? Wrestle with it for a while. I'll look around. Can anybody help? Oh, well, we need to pick up Robbie and leave my child behind. Like, if it had been Robbie in the trolley, that might have been a different story. But Rosa, no way, right? I'm just kidding. We make decisions all the time about what we're willing to leave behind. What's most precious?
what we value, what we're willing to live without. And every single day, we make choices based on the values that we have within us. And they're obvious to other people. What we value, what is precious, what we're willing to move on without, and what we will cling to at all costs. And leadership requires that we have value judgments and lead other people to have those values. Follow me in this. Trust me in this. As I say, this is what's most important. This is what is precious. This is what we need to cling to, and this is what we need to move on without. King Saul is under pressure because the Philistine garrison has been attacked by Jonathan, his son. Understandably, the Philistine neighbors aren't too happy about it, and they rally the troops. They're ready to attack, and Israel is under pressure. They want to take revenge. Samuel the prophet has promised that he will be in Gilgal in 7 days' time. And Saul just has to wait for Samuel to come and do what Samuel should do. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. Pretty clear instructions from the prophet to the king. Saul is left in no doubt as to what he has to do. On the seventh day, as time is running out and his army are running to the hills, to the rocks, to the caves, trying to hide, Saul feels under pressure. They're in the pits. What should Saul do? How should the king respond? What should be his priority? What should be the priority of the king, Israel's leader in this time, at this situation? As the king, as the leader of Israel, should his actions be determined by his opposition or by what God has spoken to him in his word? What should be the determining factor in how Saul reacts? What the people are doing or what God has said? Saul has to make a choice. He has to respond to this crisis situation that he's facing. And his choice is, should I react to what people are doing or should I pay attention to what God has said? When Samuel does show up and asks Saul why he thought it would be okay for a king to act like a priest or a prophet, Saul tells Samuel what his priority had become. I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. His feelings became more important than the word of God. In that moment, Saul felt compelled to do something. His own compulsion is, here's what I've got to do. He ignored God's word and his feelings took over. What Saul needed to realize, what we all need to realize, is that feelings are not to be our ultimate authority or guide in life. Every compulsion you have does not come from God. Every desire you have is not a good desire. So regardless of what Nike says, don't just do it. Don't just do it. Every compulsion we have needs to be brought to the word of God. Is this good? Is this right? His word needs to be prioritized above our desires and compulsions all the time. It's Christian discipleship. In the Old Testament, Wayne Grudem says this about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, words that the prophet spoke can equally be referred to as words that God himself spoke. Thus, to disbelieve or disobey a prophet, what a prophet says, is to disbelieve or disobey God himself. So Saul is not just thinking, I know better than Samuel. Saul is thinking, I know better than God. I have a better assessment of the situation than God. I know best. He rejects what God has said and responds to his situation, responds
to the circumstances around him based on his own feelings. Saul allows the people around him to be his ultimate authority. He allows his feelings to be an authority over God's word. He buckles under pressure. He ignores a direct command of God, and he thinks that life will go better, that he will be safer as a result. If I can just do it myself, if I can just go ahead, I can see this situation much more clearly than Samuel can see it. I can see this situation much more clearly than God can see it. I have a perspective that God does not have. And so regardless of what God has said, I'm going to do this. If you find yourself in that situation, pay attention to how things unfold for Saul. He takes matters into his own hands, and actually, it becomes the reason his leadership is terminated. When you feel like you know better than God, that life would be enhanced by direct disobedience to his word, you can be sure that you're living a lie. If you think my life will go better when I sin, then you are believing a lie. It's such an important lesson for Christian people to learn. Everyone needs to learn it, not just leaders, but leaders in particular. Leaders in particular need to realize this. Anyone with leadership ambition needs to realize this. God knows best. Author and conference speaker and church planter and podcaster, vice president of Acts 29 and former pastor of megachurch The Journey in St. Louis, United States, Darren Patrick was fired from his position as pastor of that church this month. And in a statement released by that church, by the elders of that church, they listed the reasons as to why he was relieved of his duties. This is a guy who is well known in Christian leadership, who is an influence, who I have been grateful for, whose podcasts I've listened to, whose books I have read, someone who I've looked up to and been influenced by and thankful for in lots of ways. Here's the list of reasons as to why this man has been relieved of his duties as a pastor. Lying, inappropriate phone calls and meeting with women, abandonment of genuine biblical community, repeated breaking of trust with other leaders. Here's the last bullet point. A history of building his identity through ministry and media platforms. What a challenge. What a challenge. It's not just that he got carried away with himself on Facebook and Twitter. It's not just that he sought out conferences to speak at. It's that when he was challenged about this repeated behavior in his life, he repented for a short period of time and then reverted to the old patterns and ignored his elders. And so I have to confess, as I read this list of things, I think, what am I guilty of? Where am I placing my identity as a Christian leader? What is it that is most important to me? What is my priority as a Christian leader? Where do I get my identity from? What am I placing my weight upon? The voice of God was no longer the defining thing in Darren's life, it seems. He made an idol out of being well thought of as a pastor. God's word was valued less than the words of others. Life is never better in the long run when we disobey God. Never. We need to prioritize his word above our feelings, his word above our cultural pressure, his word above our own experience. His word is our ultimate authority for life, death, ministry, everything. His word needs to be a priority in the lives of Christian leaders and in the life of every Christian. Christian leadership requires that the word of God is a priority, but it also necessitates that we wait patiently. Wait patiently. Samuel arrived on the seventh day, just like he said to Saul that he would. I'll be there in 7 days' time. And Samuel arrived in 7 days' time. But it wasn't quick enough for Saul.
Saul thought, time is slipping away. My resources are slipping away. My soldiers are slipping away. And my enemies are gathering pace. And they're intimidating. And so Samuel is keeping his promise by coming to Saul. But Saul has a perspective that is limited and says, I'm going to act now. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So rather than keep faith with God, he got the ritual out of the way. He got the religious act out of the way. He jumped through the hoop that he thought he needed to jump through in order to win a battle. He's like, right, I'll do this sacrifice. What is this sacrifice thing anyway? I'll just sort it out myself. I'll go ahead and do it. And he takes matters into his own hands. Rather than keep his faith in God, he took matters into his own hands. Just do it. You can almost imagine Saul muttering to himself as he arranges the sacrifice, if you want the job done right. Where is Samuel anyway? He said he would be here. Samuel showed up just moments after Saul had made the sacrifice. One person speaking about this passage says something really significant. They say, Saul lost his kingdom because of a couple of hours of impatience. Saul lost his kingdom because of a couple of hours of impatience. A while back, I was at McDonald's drive-thru, and I placed the order, and at the end of the order, I said, can I have an apple pie, please? To which the person said, yep, no problem, punched it in, came up on the wee screen. And then a minute or two later, a voice came through, said, just to let you know, it's going to be 7 minutes on the apple pie. Do you still want it? Right? We're living in a culture where you need a warning that you have to wait for 7 minutes for something, right? That's the kind of world we live in. Here's what's worse. I said, no, it's all right, forget it. I'm like, I don't have 7 minutes to wait around for an apple pie. Do you not know how important I am? I've got things to do. Like, that's the kind of patience level you're being led by, right? This confession is good for the soul. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't cope with a 7 minute wait for an apple pie. Your call is important to us. Please hold the line. Operators are standing by. Right? Your attention, please, on platform 2. We are sorry to announce that the 8:34 service to Great Victoria Street has been delayed by approximately 3.5 minutes. We need warnings about waiting because we cannot cope with it. We need to be told this is going to take time because our culture is in a rush, in a hurry, frantic. Listen again, Saul lost his kingdom because of a couple of hours of impatience. He wasn't able to wait. We're not good at waiting. Seems we've never been good at waiting. Samuel, the prophet, draws Saul's attention to his impatience and says, you've done a foolish thing. You've not kept the command of the Lord your God. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time, but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people. Because you've not kept the Lord's command. If ever we had an opportunity as kingdom people, as Christian people, to demonstrate to a watching world that we are different, that we are from another kingdom, that our citizenship lies elsewhere, then surely it is through being patient. We do not need to march at the timescale of this world. We do not let the world set the timescale for our development or progress. And who is the world to say that you or I are on the wrong side of history? It's God's story. It's his story from beginning to end. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we have no right to say to God, actually, you're wrong on this. His word needs to be a priority, and we need to wait patiently upon him because he is faithful. Samuel showed up. You are loved by the King of Kings. He keeps his word. He is faithful to the end. Samuel showed up just like he said he would. God shows up just like he said he would. You are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he doesn't give up on you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, He, God, he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. The one who begins the work completes the work. He doesn't leave you halfway through. He doesn't place an order and say, actually, I can't be bothered hanging around with this person in this condition. I'm off, cutting my ties and moving on to someone else. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. God's going nowhere. He's faithful to the end. Love is patient. God is patient. God is love. Elise Fitzpatrick says this, the benefits of God's grace has never depended on the faithfulness of human beings. The benefits of God's grace has never depended on the faithfulness of human beings. I chose an apple pie because I thought it would be of benefit to me, but then I realized it was going to cost me 7 minutes, so I rejected it. I changed my mind because I thought, I can't hang around for that. It's not like God gets into your relationship with you, then discovers all this mess and thinks, if I'd known that when I chose you, when I picked you, then I never would have chosen you. Because that's basically what I did with the apple pie. God knows you fully, intimately, and chooses you. There are no surprises to him. There's nothing about your life that he does not know. He knows everything, and he chooses you to be in his kingdom, in his family, among his people, in the church, and he's going nowhere. The benefits of God's grace never depended on human faithfulness. It's not about what we do for God, but about what he has done for us. God doesn't change his mind about us. He's not weighing up the pros and cons of having you in the church, having you in the kingdom of God. He's not going to leave you behind. He loves you, he's patient with you, and he's faithful. So Christian leaders, we are people who represent Christ to others. We are people who attempt to reveal to others the kind of treatment we have experienced at the hands of Christ. We attempt to share with other people the kind of love that we have been shown. Christian leaders reveal Christ to other people by treating them with the kind of patience we have received from him. If you're a Christian leader and you're frustrated by your team members, frustrated by the people around you, guess what? They can feel it. They can feel your frustration, your disappointment, your disapproval. I need to keep in mind how patient God is with me, how he sticks with me, how often I fail to do what I said I was going to do, how often I fail to deliver the goods, and still he loves me, still he involves me in ministry, still he is present with me. He doesn't walk away. Christian leaders should walk with those who are frustrating. Guess what? It's our only option. It's our only option because we're all human, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and if we only pick the best, only pick the elite, then we misrepresent God because he comes to weakness. He comes to emptiness. Christian leader, make God's word a priority in your life. Make his word a priority and wait patiently for the one who has been and remains incredibly patient with us. I walked away from the trolley, walked away from the pound coin, because it was of no value in comparison to what awaited me. God will never walk away from you. God will never abandon you to move on to some other project or person. He loves you, he began a work in you, and he will complete it. That is the message of the gospel. If you're wondering this morning, okay, that's all very well. How can I respond? What can I do to react to this good news of God's faithfulness? Two things really simple that you can do in the week ahead that will help you to make God's word a priority and to wait patiently for God. First thing you could do is that you could sign up for an initiative that Presbyterian Church in Ireland are launching tomorrow morning.
It's called Tides, and it's an initiative from the discipleship team at Church House. And Rick Hill, one of our elders, former youth associate here, and is leading that initiative. He's the discipleship development officer in PCI. And this Tides project is a daily reading that will come into your inbox in your email with a Bible passage and some comment on it and an opportunity to respond. You can sign up for Tides. Search for it on Google. Go on the PCI website. We'll put a link to it on Facebook, on our church Facebook and Twitter this afternoon. You can sign up for Tides and allow God's word to speak to you. It's coming through Monday to Friday. You get a break at the weekends, and you can maybe do catch up if you've missed a couple of days. So the emails come 5 days a week, similar to the projects that we've done here before ourselves. That's one way you can allow God's word to be an authority in your life. Do that. Second thing is something that we say every single Sunday here at Carmoney. The prayer ministry team are available. The prayer ministry team are available to help you to wait. I'm sure there's 1,000 issues that you'd rather take into your own hands. You think God's not showing up on time. If God could see it the way you would see it, he would have acted before now. Maybe this morning you just need to go and place yourself over there physically to say, I'm going to sit down and wait on God. I believe he's faithful. There are people who are choosing to stay over there to wait on you so that you can come and wait on God. Why don't you take that opportunity to go and sit with a prayer ministry team member? You don't need to go into all the details of your life. You need to share one issue where you're waiting on God to do what only God can do. Why don't you think about those two things and think, is there something that I can do to respond so that God's word is a priority and I can wait patiently? The band are going to come and lead us in song as our offering is lifted. Just take this time to allow God's word to speak into your life this morning, to give you hope that he is faithful, to give you hope that he's not walking away from you, he's not moving on to some other project, he's not going anywhere. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. He's the faithful one, so unchanging. Let's worship God with our offering.